Hi everyone, how's it going? Hope everything's going well. I just wanted to give a quick introduction to Masechet Yevamot. I'm hoping that, through this introduction, we'll be able to get the background information and really understand the concepts that will help us hit the ground running tomorrow when we start the Masechet. So the Torah in Devarim, Perchafe, talks about the mitzvah of Yibum. I want to discuss quickly the concept of Yibum. If a man dies and that man has no children, the Torah commands the brother of this man to marry his widow. Right, his wife, his previous wife, and the reason for this is that we want to establish a name for the brother who passed away. His name should not be crossed off; it should not be blotted out. And that's the reason why we command that this man's brother marry his widow. There's different explanations given, whether they are rational explanations or more mystical explanations as to the reason or the tam behind the mitzvah of Yibum. But not going to get into that too much. The concept of Yibum also predates the giving of the Torah. We have the story of Yehuda and Tamar, where Yehuda, his son Er, passes away, and Yehuda commands his second son Onin to marry Tamar, who is Er's widow. And so this is, even though the Torah had not been given yet, this is, in a way, the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, the concept continues that even though a person is generally not allowed to marry his brother's previous wife, an exception is made for this prohibition, for the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum generally takes place when the brother of the deceased and the widow are intimately together. That is on a d'oraita level. But d'rabbanan, there is a pre-Yibum marriage or quasi-marriage, and that is called the ma'amar. And this is rabbinic, this is d'rabbanan, the ma'amar, which is the marriage beforehand. But d'oraita, the Yibum takes place when they're intimately together. Now, when does the mitzvah of Yibum apply? Now, there are three key players within the mitzvah of Yibum. There is the deceased, there is the deceased's brother, and there's the wife of the deceased. And in order for it to apply, there have to be a certain status. There can be exceptions if any of those three players fall under certain categories. So I'll start with the deceased. So Yibum only applies if the deceased dies without any offspring. Now, even though Yibum only applies if the deceased does not have any offspring, if the deceased was never able to have offspring, if he was not capable, Yibum may then not apply. Next, we have the widow. If the widow is unable to marry the brother because they are, if she is an erva to the brother, meaning she is one of the people who the brother is not allowed to marry because she is what's called erva to him, then she's excluded from Yibum, and I won't get too much into that. Finally, we have the brother. The law of Yibum applies only to brothers who are paternal brothers, only if they share a father. But maternal brothers are not required to marry the widow of the deceased brother. Now, the Torah also gives us a mechanism to which the widow can relinquish herself from the chiyuv of Yibum, and this is the concept of chalitza. This is the process of chalitza. The word chalitza comes from taking off the shoe. After chalitza, the woman is able to marry anyone who is, even a stranger, even someone who is not the brother. And after chalitza takes effect, the woman is forbidden from marrying any of the brothers of the deceased. Now, only chalitza can relinquish the woman from the Yibum, and a regular divorce, the regular giving of a get, cannot do this on a d'oraita level. But by rabbinic decree, the giving of a get actually does have some effect, which the Masechta will go into. One more concept that I want to explain is the concept of the zakuka. A zakuka is basically describing the link between this woman and the brother of her previous, now deceased husband. She now has to perform Yibum with this husband, and this link is called the Zika. And the widow in this context is called the Zakuka. But the terms Yavama and Zakuka are pretty much interchangeable. But we call it a Zakuka when we're referring to the Zika bond, which is the relationship between this woman and the brother that she's supposed to marry through Yibum. Now, by rabbinic decree also, this Zakuka bond, the Zika, between the Yavam and the brother, is somewhat like a quasi-marital bond. And there are certain laws that come into place that kind of treat this like a quasi-marriage, since they are meant to be married through Yibum. The final thing I want to talk about, which is going to come up throughout Masechet Yevamot, but really is going to be relevant for a large part of Seder Nashim that we are about to get into, is what the general rules are of Jewish marriage. So according to the Torah, marriage takes place in two parts. The first part is called the Kiddushin, which is also referred to as Erusin. Those two words are interchangeable. There's Erusin and Kiddushin. And the second part is called Nisuin. Now, you often think of Erusin or Kiddushin as the engagement and Nisuin as the actual marriage. But Erusin and Kiddushin are actually taken far more seriously than just engagement and have serious halachic ramifications. During the Erusin stage and before the couple is married through actual Nisuin, they really are married to a lot of respects. The wife is not allowed to marry anybody else. She's not allowed to be intimate with anybody else, and doing so would be considered adultery, even though they didn't finish the marriage process yet. An Erusin connection could only be severed through a get. However, in the stage of marriage, after Erusin or Kiddushin, and before Nisuin, a couple is still not allowed to be together intimately. Additionally, the contractual laws of the ksuva and the obligations from a husband to a wife have not yet taken effect until the Nisuin. Erusin is accomplished in three ways, and it comes up in Masechet Kiddushin, either through the giving of money, or through a marriage document, or with being or having relations, all of these for the specific purpose of making this woman the man's wife. The second stage is called Nisuin, and that happens either under the chuppah or when the husband brings the wife home into his house. So it's chuppah, and that is what really completes the marriage process. In the times of the Mishnah, the Erusin would take place long before the Nisuin, often a year. But today we have both the Erusin and the Nisuin happen almost right after each other, all under the chuppah. One more important point is that even if a couple goes through with Erusin or Kiddushin and has not yet reached the Nisuin stage, and the husband dies without any offspring, the widow of the deceased is required to marry the brother through Yibum or do Chalitza. So even though they've only reached Erusin and not Nisuin, they're still required to perform either Yibum or Chalitza. That is it for the summary of Masechet Yevamot, and very excited to be learning with everyone over the next 100 plus daf. Everyone have a great night.